Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Goza Goes.
Ohayo gozaimasu.
In today's episode we're talking about Growlancer 4, Wayfarer of Time, which released in 2005.
Wait, it was called Growlancer 4, Wayfarer of Time?
Yes. What did you watch?
Oh, no, I thankfully did watch that one. I just wasn't aware of the Wayfarer of Time ending.
I chose this one because I was curious, as I hadn't heard of the entire franchise before, so I wanted to give it a look. It was animated by Feel and Zex, the studios behind Kissexis, or Kisscrossis, never sure how to pronounce that, and another video game adaptation, Diabolic Lovers. While they have each done a fair amount, not a lot of it is widely known. And I say that as someone who's gone extensively through their Wikipedia pages trying to find titles that I recognized.
So basically we're screwed if you don't recognize anything.
Though if you listened to this podcast last season, you'll have heard us talking about Remake Our Life, which Feel made, and some of us wish that they hadn't. Growlancer 4, Wayfarer of Time has a My Anime List score of 5.50. For my summary, I have Lady Silvernail has to make a tough decision to help overthrow the government or stop the plan in its tracks. Now, Arturo, what about your synopsis?
I was terrified because like halfway through I still didn't understand what was happening very well. So thankfully in the end I did kind of understand. So mine says, the tale follows Diana Silvernail, a member of the Royal Guard, as she decides whether she'll side with the revolution against the Confederate to reclaim Balkania or protect the Confederate and remain the peace. Retain the peace? Oh no.
Confused. Did they watch the same thing?
What's your synopsis?
The Royal Guard of Volcania, Diana Silvernail, tries to find the best way to avoid the war after the prince approaches her about his growing lands for a rebellion.
Okay. So it seems that the movie got its main points across, but, well, we'll start off with what's everyone's experience with Growlancer?
Do you really want to know? Do I even have to say it?
I can assume that neither of you have played this series.
I didn't even know it existed. I had to actually watch some gameplay because I was like, what is this? How am I going to be able to tell whether it's a good adaptation if I have no idea? I didn't know who to side for.
Girls, what about you?
I never played it. I feel like I heard the name, but yeah, I never played it. Although I'm like... I didn't know that he was involved, but the person who does character design for the games and did character design for this one is someone I didn't remember by name, but I've seen his work before. It's Satoshi Urushibara. He's also known as Master of Breasts. That's real. Yeah, he's... like semi-famous manga anime artist. He did the animation for the original Transformers series.
I think it was Transformers the movie. That's what I saw on IMDb.
I think he did both, actually. Probably. So yeah, that's all I know about the series is I know about the artist.
Well, honestly, I thought it was a side-scrolling shoot 'em up, like R-Type or something. But for those of you screaming at your podcasting device telling us what Growlancer is, I did actually research. Growlancer is a series of tactical RPGs developed by Koreasoft between 1999 and 2011. That includes some remakes for PlayStation consoles, PS1, PS2, and PSP. I mean, it's a tactical RPG. It's not going to have been a Xbox series, is it? This particular OVA is based on the fourth game, which has a self-contained story away from the first three. It has more than 40 endings, depending on how your relationships go. I'm pretty sure they couldn't have possibly squeezed those into a 29-minute OVA. Not that the OVA follows the plot of the game. The second, third, fourth, and fifth games were released in the West, but not the first game or the last game.
Nice, so you could just start halfway and then be really confused. Much like watching the OVA.
they gained average reviews, though the fifth game seems to have been better received. But yeah, getting into the actual thing, it's really hard to synopsize, and there's not really a plot thread that we can follow as we talk about it. My third note is, I have no idea what's going on. My second note is just the character name, Lady Silvernail, so I didn't forget it.
Yeah, I had trouble understanding what was happening. Like, my original synopsis was going to be, politics make my lands grow. Because I couldn't think of anything else. Because politics. That's what I got from it, politics. And I glazed over about all the other details. But eventually, like, I got what was happening, and I just latched on the main character, and, like, I realized it's just character-driven. But, yeah, there's not a lot of... A lot happening. It's just, yeah, like, a personal... with personal values, a little short story.
Well, Lady Silvernail, Diana Silvernail, whatever... She is a character from the games, a gamer, and she's a Royal Guard. She's a non-player character, and I believe she's one of the characters you can romance to get one of the 40 endings.
Right, because it's also a dating sim.
Yes.
I mean, that's real. It's actually a dating sim also.
Kind of like Fire Emblem.
Oh, that's awesome. I was confused throughout most of the movie because, like, the beginning just was, like, information overload. I didn't know who was a good guy, who was a bad guy. I didn't know what was Vulcania and how that separated from, like, Ignatius or whatever that was. And I was like, I'm lost. And it doesn't help that I'm not really good at political things to begin with. So for Hoff, I didn't really know who I should even be siding with. So I was like, yeah, go and fight the revolution. And then halfway they're like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm like, oh, no. Defeat the revolution. I felt like an absolute idiot.
To be fair, I don't think you're supposed to know which side to root for. I mean, if you are supposed to know, they didn't make it very clear. Because, well, the prince who wants to stage this revolution isn't a character in the game.
Oh.
So I suppose if you've played the game, you'll know who to root for, but it is left pretty open-ended. It could have gone either way, right up until near the end, because the prince is trying to convince her to participate in this revolution that they've got going on, along with the nobles, and she's obviously in two minds about it. She goes off to speak with some former nobles, I think it was, meets three people she knows, takes them off to a local fountain, and then basically says, okay, yeah, see ya.
Oh, those were actually the protagonists of the game, those three. Or
no, I think they are more of the non-player characters.
No, the guy in the black suit and red hair, that's the protagonist. You play as him.
Was he? Oh. Someone else.
This is going swimmingly.
And the two others are just the rest of his party, whatever.
Well, I did go and watch some gameplay, and neither of those two looked like the other quote unquote main character that I saw. So I.
Well, the sprites can be misleading, I guess. They do have like full body art when they are talking. Like a visual novel?
Yes. Couldn't help notice that all of the characters have so much hair.
Yeah.
Why is that such a weird thing to notice?
Everyone's hair goes in front of their eyes, and it's just so 80s poofy, even though this was from the mid-2000s.
That's part of why I recognize the artist, because... I mean, the hair is part of his art style, I feel. It was recognizable for me. And, like, the line work is very distinct also of his work. So, yeah, hair helped.
Well, looking back on it, like, oh my god, they do have so much hair. This guy doesn't even need a helmet.
The guy with, like, the big guy with an armor, like, has so much fucking hair. I wonder if he shaves. I wonder how fast his hair grows.
Yeah, unfortunately, this was a really bad one to watch for this podcast because we've got nothing to talk about.
No. I mean, I have critiques, but it's mostly just, unlike some of the ones we've watched that have made me kind of try the games, like Professor Layton, this one, I was so confused at the end. I was like, I don't know what the game is about, really. I don't know if I'm even siding with the right characters. And then I didn't know whether the prince was like a good person or a bad person because he seemed good. So I don't know. This was absolutely a bad experience.
I think the prince had good intentions. Like, he also didn't want to go to war or whatever, but like, he was misguided, I guess.
Yeah, it is a bit ambiguous. It's not like he is Darth Vader and you got to root against him. He had, as I said, good intentions, but one member of his team clearly had not so good intentions.
I did appreciate that because it felt like I liked the moral dilemma of not knowing who I should side with, despite how much flack I give it, because I was just lost and confused. But I really appreciated that it put you in the situation of not knowing who you should side for. But I would have probably enjoyed it more if I understood what even is anything at all. Maybe if I'd watched Girlancer 1 through 3.
Oi, that's my joke. How dare you? How
it
dare
took
you?
Too long. It's mine. I'm sorry. It took way too long to make it.
How dare you? We're going to war. I'm going to kill all your nobles.
Well, she's going to set your city on fire.
God damn it. Why did I make it out of wood?
One thing that I did quite enjoy was the music. Well, the first track that you hear when at the start of the movie was like something you'd hear in a PlayStation JRPG.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It was, yeah, the music was booping. I was vibing every time. I was like, almost getting out of my seat. I was vibing. The music was so good.
I didn't really notice the music, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Well, that's fair. It wasn't bad or amazing, but it did have a PlayStation JRPG feel to it, which was obviously the right choice for this sort of thing.
It served to wake me up a little bit and get me back into it. When I wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Part of the going back and listening to the music, and I actually can totally hear the PS2 era sort of theme. I really like that because it feels very kind of true to itself, though I don't really know the music from Girlancer.
No, I did scrub through some footage and couldn't find like that exact sort of music. It didn't seem to have been pulled straight from the game, but it at least fit the genre and the style.
Yeah.
One thing I was kind of disappointed with was, despite having, you know, a particular love for medieval times, I wasn't really smitten by the way this movie looked at all. The animation looked kind of off, and the overall medieval theme, sure, the places were pretty, but nothing that actually awestruck me.
Yeah, the environments weren't that memorable, now that I think about it.
Yeah, there's really just, I don't know, they all looked very samey and not really impressive at all. Apart from maybe the scene where they show a little bit more of the city. But otherwise, the indoors and all that looked kind of bland.
It's funny you say that. I remember at one point, I thought, huh, that looks similar to this big city in Guild Wars 2.
Oh. Was there like a short overview of the city?
No, it was just the way that that some of the walls were styled. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of Lionsgate, something like that. I'm terrible.
I don't freaking know. Go Google it.
I'd say, but Googling it will make this podcast last longer, but I mean, we're struggling for content.
I just don't have much to say. I was lost. I like the characters, but I wouldn't say they were phenomenal. And just the areas were kind of dull. Thank you for coming to the podcast.
Okay, well, does anyone have anything else they want to say about this? Or should we move on to the next section of the pod?
I really liked being able to watch, like, if Lady Diana is not really a playable character, I really liked that we got to see the story from her point of view as a protagonist. It gives a unique perspective into something you don't usually get to see. And she was a really enjoyable protagonist to watch over because it really felt like she had pure intentions.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I really liked her. Like, I mean, we didn't get much time with her, but like once... the little bit I got, I like that, and as I said, I latched on to her and just watched in trying to think about things from her perspective.
Yeah, like I wouldn't have minded if the movie had gone longer because the character was really enjoyable to watch. So that was some of the more fun aspects of the game, the OVA. Despite everything else, the OVA was actually really enjoyable to watch. Even if I was lost most of the time, I can see how, if I'd actually known Growlancer, I would have loved it.
Well, maybe it's confusing for people who play Growlancer as well, because, well, we may never know.
You should go play Growlancer and reconvene in a week or something.
All of the information I looked up for about this OVA, the only things that I could find were about the game. The only things that were specifically about the OVA was my anime list.
So no one's even talking about it.
There's like two sentences on Wikipedia. Oh yeah, and this came out.
Well, Master of Breasts did character design.
Obviously it was really well received and loved.
Okay, well, I'll ask, was this a good adaptation?
Sure.
No?
No, I say no. It barely used any of the characters from the game, as far
okay,
as I can tell.
Okay, then it wasn't.
And the main character used the wrong weapon, because apparently she should use a rapier, but in the OVA she's dual-wielding short swords.
Well, she could be dual-wielding rapiers.
They were short swords.
Yeah, they were short swords.
I don't know, they were pretty long.
Oh my god.
I wield long swords.
Just swords. They don't have to be long swords.
I don't know whether it was a good adaptation. Like, if she was using the wrong freaking weapon to begin with, like, that's already a huge problem. But my biggest concern is mostly that after watching it, I didn't really know what I should be doing in the game if I went to play it right now. So, like, it wasn't very informative, so it clearly didn't share its genre very well with the game.
Well, turn-based tactical strategy RPG is not very easy to translate. I suppose the fights did happen one-on-one,
like turn-based.
Taking their turns, yeah. But nobody used any magic, which is a thing in the game.
Yeah, like, it felt like, I don't know, to me, it wasn't really very indicative of how the game actually worked. And you're sure, it's kind of difficult to portray that in the game, in the movie, because it's a turn-based, but it's still, it didn't give me a lot of information on how the game worked. And like you mentioned, there's no magic. So like, to me, this was just a medieval world without any magic.
Wait. There was a chessboard. That's a turn-based strategy game.
Yeah, and then there's a knock at the door and she just grabs all the pieces. Like, what are you hiding?
Yeah, but that's a little subtle hint at how the game works. I'm sorry.
I don't have time for this mucker anymore. I quit.
Okay, well, what we do in each episode is give it a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh. Arturo.
I'm torn between a meh and a thumbs down, really. Because some of the characters were really enjoyable. And, like, I kind of liked Diana, but I was so lost. So lost. Like, if you still told me what the movie's about, I could probably only name you Diana, and it's because they should said her name so much. So I'm honestly just going to stick with thumbs down for me.
Goes.
Yeah, you're going to say that I'm way too positive. I'm just going to give it a thumbs up because I enjoyed it.
No, You're not allowed to give it a thumbs up.
No, this is a tyranny.
What?
You're going to have to side with the Confederate if you want to stop us.
I thought this was a democracy.
No, with all five countries are working as the... I don't...
We've decided to stop that because you've been disagreeing with us too much.
I mean, you already burned my town, so you don't actually have to listen to me.
Yeah, for me, it's a thumbs down. I did not enjoy it. I was lost and had no idea, and there was too much hair.
Very valid point to give it a thumbs down. Too much hair.
6 out of 10, too much water. Okay, well, yeah, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Kozikos.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and pretty much thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameCrew.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.